informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Article 6 of the Bill of Rights.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief, and so without further ado, let's go directly to Joel. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Stan. Good to be with you.
And what are we going to be talking about?
Well, I'm going to cover some the major issue today in the World Affairs Brief is concerning the Democratic outrage over the covert and actions, assassination programs, but I want to cover several small issues. First, new restrictions on immigration enforcement. You know, as the public demands more enforcement of immigration law to stop the flow of illegals coming in from Mexico, the Obama administration is making it more difficult for law enforcement to join in the fight. The Department of Homeland Security said Friday it was revising a program that authorized local police to enforce federal immigration law. The new guidelines sharply restrict the ability of law enforcement to screen and arrest Hispanic illegal aliens. They are not allowed now to stop people for minor offenses as a guise to initiate removal proceedings. You know, they're claiming that this is a... that we have scarce resources in law enforcement, that we can't afford to be out enforcing minor things. You know, I mean, this is just ludicrous, of course. You know, if you don't enforce the minor things, the larger things, you know, are exacerbated. But in fact, there were a tremendous increase in deportation proceedings last year because of people like Sheriff Joe Arpaio of Arizona's Maricopa County going after pursuing illegal aliens, raiding work sites, establishing neighborhood crime sweeps, all of those things netted a lot of illegal aliens involved in minor crimes, and they were allowed to be deported. And of course, the Department of Homeland Security, Janet Napolitano, is well aware of Arpaio. She was his opponent there in Arizona, is doing everything she can to try to discourage him from enforcing the law. Now, in my opinion, there's much more to this agenda than simply winning Latino votes. The larger agenda is to water down American conservative votes with a flood of illegals who will be given citizenship status in the future. This mixing of conflicting ethnic groups is at the root of most ethnic conflict in the former Soviet Union, for example, where Russia moved in millions of Russian immigrants to control large blocks of votes once the switch to democracy was allowed. And China's doing the same thing in Tibet in the Xinjiang province, where the current state of ethnic violence is high. You know, Xinjiang province is no stranger to ethnic clashes. Tensions have grown as Beijing has mandated the migration of Han Chinese to the once autonomous region, trying once again to undo the Uyghur Muslim majority there, and now the Uyghurs make up barely half the population. And so they feel that their customs, culture, and religious freedom is being eroded by the mandated immigration of a of the Han Chinese, and these are done by government specifically to create ethnic conflict.
And I think here in the United States, there is an organized effort to create a multicultural, multilingual society, and that's why when you call your local phone company, AT&T, and you if you have it there in Colorado, you know, and the first thing they say is, you want the message in English or Spanish. Why are they doing that? Why isn't English the official language of this country? Because they want it, and they know exactly what they are doing. They just want the American people to know. I mean, it is the most incredible thing, Joel, to think that they would be restricting the ability of the local police to do what they should be doing, unless we understand that the whole idea is to have all power in Washington, D.C. to carry out Washington's program, and that is to destroy the national sovereignty of our nation and merge this with Mexico.
Well, you know, it's very discouraging for local law enforcement to go out and arrest illegal aliens, turn them over to the INS, and the INS simply release them. Refuse to prosecute, refuse to deport. And so this is a real problem. Moving on to some other aspect, there is a it was in shortly after the 1976 swine flu threat of epidemic. It never turned out to be anything, frankly. And as we've discussed in another program, there was almost, if not all of the deaths that came from the swine flu came from people taking the vaccine. There was a CBS documentary that detailed the U.S. government, how they exacerbated this minor 1976 outbreak of the swine flu and scared the public into taking a vaccine that caused dramatic neurological damage to thousands of victims and caused several deaths. And the government used untrue claims to, of course, propagandize the public. It used the names of public celebrities without their permission, claiming that they had voluntarily taken the vaccine. In fact, they had not. They denied knowledge of known neurological damage, and it was all, I mean, it was an incredible documentary that really went after the government bureaucrat in charge of the CDC and got him to admit on camera that it falsified things. It's a tremendous documentary, and it's on the website www.dailymotion.com. This documentary was shown only once to the American people, and then it was buried in the archives, and now somebody's ferreted it out again, and it is a dramatic piece. Have you seen it, Dr. Stan?
No, I haven't, but I will certainly look at it, and this was a 60-minute segment.
That's right.
60-minute program that told the truth for a change.
Yeah, it was dramatic in you know, and it just shows that when the press wants to go after something, and you look at the pointed, trapping questions, they really went out to get these government bureaucrats, and yet today when you see some of the softball questions thrown at people under the guise of investigative reporting, you realize there's a real difference when the press you know, wants to go after something or whether the press is just simply parroting the government position. But in any case, I would encourage everybody to see this. They can also, you know, do a search if they can't find it. But it is on dailymotion.com.
Dailymotion.com. You know, it's very interesting. We carry a book called Into the Buzzsaw. It's written by people in the media who tried to tell the truth and how they were punished and their careers were destroyed. And at least two of them had worked for 60 minutes, told the truth. They got the program out, but that was the end of their career. We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen right here at the American Network.
This is George Flynn of Words of Freedom. KHNC listeners are painfully aware of the forces that have brought our economy to the state it's in. We want financial advice from experts who understand what's really going on. The iMoneyCoach.com team has put all the knowledge they use to coach successful people and businesses into a 10-course training program for only a fraction of the cost. Thousands of dollars of training materials and videos for under $200. At iMoneyCoach.com, you'll get the knowledge you need to change your life for the better. iMoneyCoach.com.
You've heard of it, the hair of the dog that bit you. a solution for your morning woes when you've had too much to drink. Each 12-ounce can of Hair of the Dog provides you with a natural, smooth energy boost and is a good liver detoxifier, even if you don't drink alcohol. To order Hair of the Dog or the seven other awesome liquid nutrition products, go to www.liquidnutrition.4tgl.com or call 720-494-4663.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. Joel, go right ahead.
Well, the new regulations of derivatives proposed by Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner are just a sham. There were about 110 members of Congress, it turned out. Many of them had to wait 3 hours to ask him a question. All eyes were on Timothy Geithner as he outlaid or pretended to lay out the regulation of the multi-trillion dollar market of financial derivatives, the hedging instruments that bankrupted American International Group in September and are at the root of much of the economic problems we have. And Mr. Geithner vowed that the administration would impose tougher regulations on the freewheeling market for derivatives like credit default swaps. CDSs, or credit default swaps, were in ensure investors from losses on bond defaults and many other types of bets. He told lawmakers that the plan would require that all, quote, standardized, whatever that is, instruments be traded or regulated on a regulated exchange through a central clearinghouse. You know, this implies, of course, that others would not be required to be to deal in the open. The instruments that caused the greatest disruption last year, credit default swaps, are tied to mortgage-backed securities, were traded over-the-counter rather than in regulated exchanges. And of course, we know that regulated exchanges like on Wall Street do nothing to stop insider trading or dealing. In fact, they facilitate it. And of course, part of the problem is that bond insurers like AIG sold CDSs as a form of insurance with inadequate capital. Well, it wasn't actually inadequate. It was no capital whatsoever, no reserves whatsoever. And now Geithner said that the government would demand higher capital requirements for all participants. But it's interesting, Dr. Stan, that capital requirements are far different than strict reserve requirements. There is a difference. You know, CDSs are insurance-like policies that should have standardized reserve requirements like other insurers. What this does is force them to take capital and put it in conservative investments, not simply claim that a certain level of capitalization on the books of the company is sufficient. I mean, AIG showed capitalization of billions of dollars, but it was all smoke and mirrors. In other words, they had taken executive compensation in the billions of dollars and put it into certain funds, liability funds within the corporation, to show it as assets, to keep it on as assets, when in fact it wasn't existing. Lehman Brothers did the same thing. Had left only, out of $264 billion that they paid out in compensation, they had left the company only $6 billion to operate on, which is one of the reasons why they went under. So this thing about, you know, requiring higher capitalization is nothing different than what happened before. They're still not talking about actual insurance reserves. The Treasury Secretary also said he wanted to leave most of the details to the actual regulators rather than spell them out in legislation, warning that overly specific law would give market participants opportunities to evade the rules. Well, you know, but by leaving the details empty, no lawmaker can judge the future effectiveness or lack thereof of the rules. And Geithner incredibly said he opposed banning all credit default swaps, which is telling in and of itself. Mr. Geithner also said he opposed the banning of even naked derivatives, the practice of buying a derivative without even owning the underlying securities. In other words, you buy an insurance policy on something that you don't even own. I mean, this is pure speculation. He said that these practices need comprehensive oversight. But, you know, that didn't tell us anything. I mean, certainly they're going to put one of the foxes in charge of the hen house, and they're not going to give them any power to stop these derivatives. You know, what is oversight if you don't have the power to stop and sanction them? So this is just a sham, Dr. Stan, and it's incredibly evil that they're carving out a way in which to continue the status quo among these high-rolling investments, the speculative economy, where people try to make higher than normal rates and returns and don't, in fact, invest in the normal economy.
But, of course, I think the frightening thing about derivatives, and most people really don't understand, that this is going to be the ultimate bubble. I mean, you're talking about hundreds of trillions of dollars that don't exist, and if this bubble breaks, which it eventually will, the whole world financial system is coming down around the derivatives, and they're absolutely refusing to do anything to prevent it. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why wouldn't they try to preserve the financial system if they really want to keep it intact?
Well, in fact, you know, they have been bailing out derivatives. It's an ongoing thing. It isn't something that just is there one day and collapses the next. I mean, almost half of the bailout funds went to AIG to pay off derivative contracts, and they were paying it off to other insider traders. And they weren't paying off derivatives to pension funds and other legitimate people that have been rooked into hedging their bets. And so they've left them hanging, and a lot of these have gone into default. So this is an ongoing process, and of course, the largest part of the hammer is yet to drop. But incredibly, as I say, they're going to preserve the system under the guise of new regulation.
And of course, the amazing thing is, of course, the AIG payout was not their money. It was American taxpayers' money. And they funneled the money to their friends, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase. And I think it's just so amazing. Everybody's saying, isn't it amazing J.P. Morgan Chase at Goldman Sachs had such great second quarter earnings? I think Goldman Sachs was $3.5 billion earnings in just one quarter. Well, I'll tell you, if somebody gave me $12.5 billion of taxpayers' money, I could probably come up with a profit of $3.5 billion. What they really didn't say was that if they hadn't given all that American taxpayers' dollars to AIG, which simply used as a funnel to put it to AIG, pardon me, to Goldman Sachs, Goldman Sachs would have had a loss, you know, of about $9 billion. And, of course, they would have said, you know, this would have looked terrible. They were saying how great J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs are doing. Look at all the money they made there in the second quarter. And, of course, it was all transfer of American taxpayer dollars.
Yes, and, of course, you know, by allowing them to avoid insolvency, they were able to continue to make money on investments and promote deals that they wouldn't ordinarily have been able to have any business at all.
Right.
So even though they can show that these profits were, quote, independent from the bailout, nevertheless, the bailout allowed them to continue business as usual. Well, sadly, along with other bad legislative news this week comes the predictable news that Ron Paul's effort to get the Fed audited was shot down in the Senate. You know, this was directly laid at the feet of Ben Bernanke, who opposed it strongly. He said, my concern about the legislation is that the GAO is auditing not only the operational aspects of our programs and details of the programs, but making judgments about our policy decisions, which would effectively be a takeover of monetary policy by the Congress, a repudiation of the independence of the Federal Reserve, which would be highly destructive to the stability of the financial system. You know, this is an incredible statement, Dr. Stan. So if this was going to be highly destructive of the financial system, that is to have congressional oversight, who's then responsible for the current instability, if not the Fed? And, you know, let's talk about this supposed independence of the Federal Reserve. It just so happens that Congress has the constitutional power to regulate money. So how is congressional oversight something somehow bad? This concept of the so-called independence of the Federal Reserve came straight out of the Creature from Jekyll Island story, the false opposition invented by the big bankers who created the Fed and claimed to be against it, playing against the populist anti-bank sentiment that prevailed in 1913. The bankers correctly figured that if they played like they controlled Congress and the money power therein, they could sell the ignorant public on the deception that the new Federal Reserve would be independent from political powers. Well, it might have been independent from certain political powers, but that is the opposition, but it certainly wouldn't be free from the monetary powers. In short, the Fed wants it both ways. It wants to claim that it isn't a power unto itself, since Congress has oversight. And when Congress wants to exercise that oversight, it claims it's a violation of its independence. I mean, this is really slick. Shame on the senators who are cowed by this facetious argument.
Well, I don't know if they're cowed. I'd say they're more bought and paid for, and we've got some of the finest senators money could buy, and these men do not represent us. They represent the power elite, and some of them, like Dianne Feinstein, are members of the Trilateral Commission.
Yes, that's right. Well, another bad legislation this week, the hate legislation, got linked to the Defense Appropriation Bill. This is one of the most unethical tactics used by both parties to advance controversial legislation. Attach it as amendment to a must-pass bill like defense spending. Strategy plays upon, of course, congressmen's predictable support of perceived issues of national defense. Get them to look the other way on social issues that otherwise wouldn't pass muster.
But one thing that really gets me, Joel, is how do they get the amendment? The senators must vote for that amendment to be attached to the legislation, don't they?
That's right, and it gets.
So they when they attach it to the legislation, they were in effect saying we're going to be sure this thing passes. So there had to have a majority vote. I couldn't imagine that, they when they put the amendment on, the majority of the senators simply went right along with it.
No, that's right. You have to vote for it. Everyone, of course, claims to be against hate. They use that social phenomena to drum up ignorant support for this measure. Few realize that a hate crimes bill sets the legal foundation for future enforcement of laws that will criminalize words and thoughts.
But, of course, it's a total violation of the First Amendment, but these people don't believe in the First Amendment. They want control.
Well, that's right. They believe in it selectively, of course, not my rights to criticize, but their rights to propagandize. But, you know, fortunately this time around, Senator Sam Brownback submitted an amendment to the hate bill that restricted it only to speech that threatens imminent incitement of violence. Speech that falls short of that actual incitement will be protected. Now, this was quite a significant amendment, and, you know, it's interesting when you put something in very clear language that people would be embarrassed voting against, it gets passed. Senator Leahy said earlier he had no problem with including Brownback's amendment, although he voted against it, which demonstrates anybody who could vote against that means that they obviously want speech to be criminalized. And it demonstrates that there was an ulterior motive to this bill. But the amendment, Brownback amendment, passed overwhelmingly 78-13. And approval of his amendment was a great victory and testimony to the pressure put on the liberals by Senator or Reverend Ted Pike, who led the charge against this legislation. Others like Focus on the Family, Dobson, capitulated on this battle, said it was a lost cause and that we ought to revert to prayer only. But in fact, it wasn't a lost cause. If in fact there hadn't been so many calls generated by Ted Pike and his movement, most Democrats, you know, would have just denied Brownback's amendment. But they were eager to, get out from under this pressure. The House counterparts, the Democrats in the House, under far less pressure 11 weeks ago, would have never made this concession. And in fact, that's why the House version of the bill is so much worse than the Senate, because the people really got exercised about this by the time it reached the Senate. And as Ted Pike said, the inclusion of Brownback's amendment should help safeguard free speech from the pulpit or airwaves, except in the cases of the most blatant immediate incitement to violence. And he says it also helps neutralize the extremely threatening language of the 1968 hate crimes law. You know, a lot of people don't realize we already have a hate crimes bill clear back in 1968. And it was onerous because it said that anyone who induces free speech or through speech a commission of a crime shall be tried as a principal.
We'll be back in just a moment here with Joel Skousen right here, American Freedom Network.
This is George Flynn of SelfDefenseGuns.com. Our concealed carry classes meet the training requirements to obtain a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit, as well as non-resident Utah and Florida. We feel very strongly that ladies should exercise their right to carry and protect themselves and their loved ones. That's why our Annie Oakley special allows any student to bring a lady to our classes for free. Visit SelfDefenseGuns.com or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
Ferris Survival is your one-stop shop for all your family preparedness needs. Ferris Survival carries high-quality, long-term storable food from Mountain House with a 25-year shelf life. Come by and pick up some high-quality organic bulk grains like wheat, quinoa, corn, and barley. Filter your drinking water through the world-famous British Birkfeld water filtration system and reduce or remove bacteria, chlorine, parasites, sediment, and rust for the best-tasting water for pennies a day. Pick up a 3-day kit from Survivor Industries for the car. Ferris Survival also carries a huge selection of hard-to-find books from Paladin Press and Desert Publications. Ferris Survival is located at 3366 South Broadway, 3 blocks north of Hamden in Englewood. Call Ferris Survival at 1-866-781-0343 or on the web, www.fserve.com. Prepare your family. Visit Ferris Survival today.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. And before we go on, Joel, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they could learn more about World Affairs Brief, how they could perhaps even subscribe to it.
Well, the easiest way to find World Affairs Brief is on the web at www.worldaffairsbrief.com. worldaffairsbrief.com. People can get a free sample issue of this subscriber-based newsletter by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com and requesting a free sample copy. There is a modest subscription price. It's only $24 for the rest of the year. To get this weekly news analysis service, such as what we're talking about today, there's lots of free things on the website for people to enjoy, including a daily rundown of the top news stories that have been selected by my staff to contain the least disinformation, and also lots of archival material on the right-hand side of the website about past cover-ups the government has been involved in. Much information on the left-hand side about the various books I've written about preparedness and architectural security and self-sufficiency of homes. As you know, I do believe that even as we fight for our liberty, that we need to be prepared to survive the difficulty should we not be successful, or should the government continue on its quest to invoke a global new world order upon us.
Amen to that.
Well, we were talking about the hate legislation linked to the Defense Appropriation Bill and the Brownback Amendment, which took a lot of the dangerous teeth out of this bill and also undermined, thankfully, the 1968 hate crimes law, which established the legal litmus test of merely inducing through speech the commission of a violent crime. In other words, any Christian minister talking about the Lord's injunction against homosexuality could be used as an excuse to say that he has induced anyone who created a crime against homosexuals. And so it's a much, it was a very slippery and, you know, legal litmus test before, and now that has been strengthened through the Brownback Amendment. Now, what we have to watch for is that in the resolution between the House and Senate version of this, if this Brownback Amendment doesn't get thrown out, the conferees on a congressional bill to work through the differences have the authority to sit there and throw out whole sections. And so the battle isn't over until this bill is finished, and I wouldn't put it past them to try to water down or remove that Brownback Amendment.
Well, all we can do is, you know, is just keep the pressure on, and you know, if this thing comes up and they've taken it out, why, we should all be writing to our congressmen, calling, emailing, faxing, and saying, vote against it with the Brownback Amendment gone. Why, it will destroy the freedom of speech in this country and the First Amendment.
That's right, and as I say, this whole general principle of increasing the penalty for a violent crime because of the motives of the person is very dangerous and slippery legal ground. It not only places a higher value on the life of one person killed versus another, but it creates special classes with extra rights, and these happen to be classes of people who are, frankly, you know, sexual deviants, and this is a something that will eventually work toward the advantage of homosexuals in trying to gain further acceptance by force, just as they do in certain property law now, where you're not allowed to rent as a Christian, or to specify or restrict your rental property to those who believe as you do. You know, when you have people living in your home to a rented room or in your apartment house, this should be the prerogative of any person to exclude people whose morals they view as deleterious or injurious to their belief system. You know, it was very interesting in the debates on the federal hate law that Representative Virginia Fox of North Carolina brought up the fact that Matthew Shepard, you know, who was the poster boy of this hate crimes bill, supposedly murdered because he was homosexual. She said this wasn't true. He was killed because he was a victim of a robbery, and Shepard's murderers did not even know he was gay at the time of the robbery. So the bottom line is that this bad piece of legislation will establish homosexuals and other types as protected groups in society, other legislation will indeed follow that will prohibit even verbal criticism of those groups. And I think homosexuals are particularly interested in targeting Christian ministers who condemn homosexuality based upon the Bible. Certain ministers in Canada have already been arrested and jailed for violating these types of laws that exist there. In Austria and Germany, those who question even portions or the extent of the Jewish Holocaust have been arrested and given long prison terms simply for believing or disbelieving in a certain problematic historical doctrine. Now, it's not difficult to foresee the day, if this trend continues, that other forms of politically incorrect speech, such as believing in conspiracy theories or facts about conspiracy in government, will be viewed as criminal offenses.
All I can say is that God will not be mocked. And people, you know, see these things coming down the line. They don't understand there are going to be serious spiritual consequences for this country's acceptance of abortion and homosexuality and pornography and deviant behavior. And there is going to be a terrible price to pay because the good people have done nothing.
Yes, and unfortunately, that can be taken all too literally. Sometimes good people have done nothing to stop these things.
Right.
And you certainly would never be guilty of that, Dr. Stan. You've been at the forefront of this battle. I know you spend about 5 hours of the day, each day, trying to educate people on the radio. Well, you know, there's a great deal of hypocrisy in the claim of universal health insurance. Now, I say hypocrisy because it appears that Congress is once again moving to exempt themselves from mandatory participation in the Democratic version of universal health care. This happened with the Social Security legislation. Members of Congress exempted themselves from mandatory participation. I mean, this is the height of hypocrisy, to mandate it upon everyone else and then to exempt yourself and design a very lucrative pension system for members of Congress. But this is exactly what happened. An ABC News interviewed Obama on the health care plan and said, "Mr. President, will you or your family give up your current health care program and join the universal health program that you are designing for the rest of us?" Obama completely evaded the question. ABC News also then asked on camera a number of senators the same question. They were equally evasive, and not one said they would switch to the new government program. Well, it's
little wonder. These people give hypocrisy a bad name.
Yeah, the Kennedy version of this bill does exempt Congress from participation in the plan. Well, there was some other bad language that got slipped into this health reform bill. Democratic Senator Barbara Mikulski of Maryland provided a classic example of morally bankrupt legislators seeking to force something.
We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen for the final segment of this morning's program here on The Dennis. Find me on the American Freedom Network.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Home for rent at Carter Lake with great views from wraparound deck. Just 15 minutes from Loveland or Berthoud. Has two master bedrooms with two full baths. Is partially furnished and includes hot tub, fireplace, wood-burning stove, storage sheds, large garden. Chickens are optional. 2 acres with plenty of room for your outdoor toys. Great neighbors. Pets are welcome. For more information, call 970-667-4509. That's 970-667-4509.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cedarstrom. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making your way, the only way they know how.
Well, Dr. Stan here, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. Joel, pick up the story.
We're talking about the Mikulski Amendment to the Health Care Insurance Bill. It's a portion called American Health Benefit Gateways. It's a bill that, it's an amendment that directs each state to create gateways consisting of government-run insurance company plus qualified private insurance companies in order to qualify for entering into the gateway of having this public-private partnership. You have to provide community health services. You have to be an essential community provider. This is very interesting because Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah pointed out this language as Mikulski, who was chairing this committee, about her amendment. And Hatch asked, would this include abortion providers? It looks to be like, he says, you're expanding it to where Planned Parenthood would be allowed to participate in these gateways. Mikulski was evasive as usual. It would include, she said, women's health clinics that provide comprehensive services. And under a definition of women's health clinic, it would also include Planned Parenthood clinics, she said. But she said it does not in any way expand a service. In other words, it doesn't expand or mandate an abortion service. No, Hatch replied, said, but it would provide for them. In other words, you mandate that they include such people as Planned Parenthood in these gateways. And by mandating that these people are included, you automatically make sure that the taxpayer pays for abortion services. And, of course, Mikulski didn't want to have this out in the open. This was a very circuitous route for trying to get abortion into this new health care plan. And so Hatch finally decided to nail her to the wall on this. He said, Madam Chairman, would you be willing to put some language in that amendment that says not including abortion services? In other words, specifically exclude abortion. Mikulski concluded a long, convoluted response by saying, no, I would not be willing to do that at this time. So, to be more direct, on Monday, Hatch offered his own amendment to the committee prohibiting any funding of abortion through federally funded insurance programs, except in cases of rape, incest, or save the life of the mother, and the Democrats shot that down. So, right now we're mandating a system. The Senate is going to pass this. California hospitals and insurers have issued sharp warnings that a government insurance program like this could jeopardize patient care. It would flood the system with low-paying individuals or no-paying individuals. They would not pay because the government typically does not pay for all of the services matching the cost to the hospitals. And so they're predicting dire warnings on this.
Well, it's a tragic situation when all taxpayers are going to be forced to pay for abortions to destroy the life of unborn children.
And, of course, we already do indirectly because Planned Parenthood gets a lot of grants from HEW, millions and millions of dollars in grants. Well, returning to our main story of the World Affairs Brief is coming out today. About government covert illegal actions. The Democrats, of course, feign outrage. First, it was discovered that Vice President Dick Cheney ordered the CIA not to disclose to Congress the government's secret and illegal surveillance program, or at least not to reveal the full extent of the program. Then came the half-truths about the government extent of use of torture. Cheney was behind that. You know, I find it strange that no one in Congress or the media is asking, what authority did the vice president have to issue such orders, and why the CIA was obeying them? They should also be wondering if this points to some alternative power structure inside government that the public doesn't know about. But that would, of course, sound like a conspiracy, which is off limits for public discussion. And the latest scandal centered around Leon Panetta, CIA director, admission that Vice President Dick Cheney once again instructed the CIA not to tell Congress about a new secret assassination program aimed at al-Qaeda leaders. But, you know, something's wrong with this on several fronts. First, secret assassination programs against internal and external enemies have been going on since World War II. And second, both Republican and Democratic administrations and key members of Congress have known about them for years. Now, the CIA is required by law to notify Congress of all covert intelligence operations. But when oversight committees in Congress are briefed on covert programs, they are themselves sworn not to tell other members of Congress, thus thwarting any real opposition. I mean, here's Dick Cheney being criticized for not telling Congress or dictating the CIA to not tell Congress, and yet the very rules of the secrecy provisions of the briefings given by the CIA means that the people receiving the briefing can't tell their fellow congressmen. Now, that means that they can't publicly oppose this. They can't even tell their fellow congressmen what they've been briefed about. I mean, this isn't oversight, Dr. Stan, if you have no power to stop a program. And while high-level leaders may know of a certain program and its existence, they usually know little about the targets and specific details, and that's where evil comes into sharp focus. At the detail level is where the knowledge exists about whether the person targeted for assassination is really a justifiable enemy of the U.S. or merely an inconvenient politician or whistleblower who has suddenly found out about some wrongful and illegal action committed by government and needs to be eliminated. And that's happened before.
And remember, of course, Senator Tower's plane exploded in midair. Certainly we know that Congressman Hale Boggs, a plane went down. We know from now that the FBI knew where the plane went down. Everybody was alive, but they all died of exposure because they refused to send help. We know what happened to Congressman Larry McDonald, who was an opponent of so much of what was going on, and his plane was shot down. Nothing was ever done to demand compensation for killing or perhaps capturing all the people on KAL-007. There are lots of ways to get rid of your opposition in Congress.
That's right. And there were two leaders of South Vietnam that were assassinated by the CIA because they got in the way of the U.S. policy of sabotaging the Vietnam War against communism.
Sure.
Now, I have no objection in principle to selective assassination of evil leaders when they're waging war against our nation without justification. But I don't trust our government to make those moral decisions.
We're out of time, Joel. God bless. Talk to you next week. Thanks so very much.
Thank you, Dr. Stone.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Home for rent at Carter Lake with great views from wraparound deck. Just 15 minutes from Loveland or Berthoud, has two master bedrooms with two full baths, is partially furnished, and includes hot tub, fireplace, wood-burning stove, storage sheds, large garden, chickens are optional. 2 acres with plenty of room for your outdoor toys. Great neighbors. Pets are welcome. For more information, call 970-667-4509. That's 970-667-4509.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. 3 praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the American Freedom Network. We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Joel Skousen. Joel was talking about assassinations. We have a great 4-CD set. It's called Deadly Assassins. There I actually interview 2 people who worked for the CIA as assassins. One of them was actually ordered to kill a foreign dignitary, the leader of a foreign nation. The other was ordered to kill a presidential candidate here in the United States. He was ordered by somebody who was very powerful to kill a man who was running for president against him. This is the sort of thing that goes on, and we simply talk about all of the assassinations that have taken place here in the United States and throughout the world. We have interviews with a gentleman who wrote the book Target Patton about the murder of General George Patton. Yes, he was murdered. They wanted to get rid of him because they were afraid he was going to come home and tell the American people that he wasn't allowed to win the war over there. They delayed the war for many, many months by cutting off the gasoline that Patton needed. He was ready to strike across Europe and take Berlin. They did not want to end the war. They couldn't let General Patton live, and so they ordered him killed. And you'll hear my interview with a gentleman who talked to the assassin. He has all the assassin's papers, but these are the stories they don't want you to hear. We also carry the book, Target Patton, and we have the information readily available here at Radio Liberty. If you want to know how they killed Martin Luther King, and they did kill him, we have people who attended the trial that was put on by the Martin Luther King's family to bring out the truth, totally blocked out by the mass media. As the jury came forward and said the CIA was behind the murder of Martin Luther King. Why would the CIA be involved? They're supposed to be protecting us from overseas enemies. No, ladies and gentlemen, the CIA is the hit team for the invisible government, the Trilateral Commission, CFR, Brotherhood of Darkness complex that we write about. So we have a 4-tape set on the execution of Martin Luther King, a 4-tape set on the murder of Bobby Kennedy, and we carry the book, RFK Must Die. Who Killed Bobby is the book. The DVD is RFK Must Die. They're all available from Radio Liberty. You want to know how they tried to kill all over 280 men on the USS Liberty in 1967? We've got a 4-tape set on that. In fact, we have a USS Liberty special, things you'll never get else. We have a DVD made here in America, a DVD made in Great Britain, totally blacked out in America. We have a 4-tape set, and we have a little syllabus. That's the USS Liberty special, or you can certainly get the items separately. You must understand that the people at the highest levels of our government, specifically Lyndon Johnson and Robert McNamara, wanted to kill everybody on our ship, on the U.S. Liberty, so they could justify an attack on Egypt at the time in an effort to get rid of General Nasser, Colonel Nasser. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. Why are these things happening? Because there are satanic forces working at the highest levels of our government, And the devil was honest when he offered Jesus control of all of the nations of the world if it simply kneel down and worship him, and Jesus declined. But there are people who have given themselves over to Lucifer for power, and they control what's going on in the world today. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Again, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-58-